Welcome to Experience Health Radio, presented by Cingala Consulting. Cingala Consulting was founded on the basic principle that the patient should be at the center of every decision made by healthcare organizations. Our mission is to help these organizations realize their investments in technology, employees, clinicians, and most importantly, their patients. We bring together industry leaders on air each week to engage in conversations about the patient experience with a focus on the developments in areas that have the greatest opportunity for improvement in healthcare today.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Fran Horner, co-founder of Cingala Consulting and the host of Experience Health Radio. As always, we're excited to share with our audience our experiences and the experiences of our guests every week on demand through our website and downloaded through iTunes. And we've got an exciting topic today. In fact, it's called Going for Greatness, Call Center Recruiting. You know, it's no secret that contact center agents have a really tough job. They deal with frustrated customers, you know, the hours can be long, and they often struggle with finding the information they need at their fingertips. All of this really contributes to a high turnover rate and results in poor retention rates, you know, problems for any company's bottom line. So getting the right type of person into the chair makes all the difference in the world, and having compassionate, empathetic, and skilled agents, that really translates to higher levels of customer engagement and loyalty. So at Cingala, we've developed the Ultimate Agent Program. It helps to take your contact center to another level. It centers, there's a level set at that square one, which means focusing on recruiting. And we truly believe recruiting is an integral part of any organization's long-term goal of lowering turnover. And our guest today believes it too. I'm very excited to introduce Nina Lalamia. She is the president of Atlas Contact Center Staffing and IT Consulting. Nina is based in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and uses her 20 years of experience in the industry to work with companies that are just starting out or rebuilding to improve their human capital, technology, workflow management, and training processes. Before founding Atlas, Nina started ASAP Contact Center Staffing and Consulting in 2001. Helping Fortune 1000 companies with their staffing needs, and then sold that in 2009. And, you know, she just couldn't stay away. And her passion and excitement to help people and businesses grow from the moment you start talking to her. And with that, I just want to welcome Nina to the show. Hi, Nina.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Well, oh, thanks so much for joining us. You know, this is such a interesting topic, and it's one that comes up every time we do a consulting engagement. So I just want to jump right in with some questions. I have to admit that I was immediately captivated by the Atlas motto, Going for Greatness. So can you expand on that, and where did you come up with it, and how can companies achieve that greatness you're talking about?
Sure. The way I came up with that is greatness, I think, is really a way of life. It's not something that you can turn on and turn off. It's something that you have internally. It's something that you have. Greatness is something that you have within you, and that's what I tell and I look for in all of my applicants and everyone that I have people ask me that question often. And it's something that when you talk to someone, you see that in them. And what I tell people is always look, you know, have you ever had someone just really astonish you? You've had that experience, it may be on the phone, it may be in person. And healthcare is a really good place to find that. But when someone goes over and beyond, that to me is when you recognize and represents greatness. When a person's always going over and beyond to help someone, to fix a problem, you know, I think that represents greatness. And it's something where you have that you're that way with your peers, with your family, with your managers. You don't have it just 8 to 5. You don't exhibit it just on Sundays or Monday through Friday, it's a quality of life.
So it's really about inherent and who you are. It's, you know, it's really, I guess,
right.
What you're saying, it's hardwired in your existence.
Right. And I think people remember, they don't remember you for what you give them. They remember you for how you make them feel.
Yeah, that's so true. We often talk about the voice and what a good call sounds like, but I often remind people of a good call is what it also feels like. You know, as most of our listeners know, we're in the healthcare business here at Cingola, and although you're not specifically healthcare-oriented, we think it's important to always look at what other industries are doing, especially around turnover. So that's really why we wanted to talk to you today. Can you tell me why should companies start with a solid recruitment program instead of just beefing up their new hire training to really attack both, I guess, recruitment and eventually retention?
Sure. Yeah, that is a good question. Well, one of the reasons is it's really important to have a solid recruiting program. It helps define your culture. It's the place that you start first. It's your first impression of the company. And a good recruiting campaign is the place that starts. And I think some companies don't realize that's where that momentum builds. And if you don't have that foundation, then that first impression of the employee, they don't see that. And a good recruiting campaign should be very similar to, it should have a lot of energy to it and a lot of synergy that the recruiting campaign brings, along with also a company that's doing it right should always have someone sitting on their bench. If you're the employer of choice, it's just like a good restaurant usually has a waiting line, and it should have that kind of energy that a new band has, or a new restaurant. Everyone knows, they hear that buzz and that excitement around it, so everyone wants to be a part of a great thing. So that's why a recruiting plan is so important to have in place. And then
the question is,
once you have that great, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You're on a roll.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Once you have that good recruiting plan in place, then the question is, how do you keep that momentum on your great recruiting campaign? Just like that great band, that new band that everyone's talking about and they're really excited about, then that how does that band stay classic? So that's how it would be similar.
Yeah, I think my takeaway from that is I call it ABH, which is always be hiring. You're right, because you've got to build that bench. You know that turnover is there. And when you do the calculations around turnover, obviously you're going to see, you know, what your turnover rate is and how many days it takes you to fill those positions. You'll be able to model and forecast that. But what's the first thing you suggest to companies to do in the recruiting process so that they can start hiring people that'll stick around?
Well, in the very beginning of the recruiting process, I always suggest is that to go back to the very basics is to ask the questions of why are we hiring, what is the position, what are the skills, and those basic things, and so that you have all of those things answered. What type of person are we looking for? So that way you know where you should target, what people you should target. Also, you know, how one of the things I see a lot of clients leave out is when you're targeting those candidates, what's really important to retain a employee is they should know how their job is going to affect how they're going to contribute in their position, so that you can they can have passion in their position. So that's something that really allows you to recruit great people, because great people have passion. So they should know what are they going to contribute to the company, what are they going to contribute to the customer. So to answer your question is to have those basics set first before you put together, you start recruiting, is to have all the onboarding together and to know exactly who you're going to target, just as if you were selling. What candidate are you going to target? What skill set are you going to target? And what demographics?
You're speaking our language. What we do typically is we work with our clients to develop a job analysis. Because how do you recruit if you don't actually know what the job is supposed to be? And then to your point, what is the type of person that's likely to be successful? Because it's just so much money to recruit. And if you're recruiting and you're not getting greatness in your recruiting, well, then that's just, you know, throwing good money after bad. We've seen that the cost of turnover, the statistics are pretty dire. I mean, there's various studies and reports that show it costs anywhere from, $500 to $4,000 to hire a new employee, and then, several thousand dollars more to train them. So, are there any new developments on the horizon to help companies stop this expensive revolving door of hiring new agents that you've seen?
Well, one of the new things that people are using today that's helping with retention, because what if you look at the studies, why people in today's market leave most often is because they're not happy with the environment. They don't feel like, because today what we're dealing with is we're dealing with Generation Y. And Generation Y, they want to be loved, and they're the generation of entitlement. And so they need to be engaged. And the best tool that's out there today are the tools that are social media that companies are using to engage their employees. And there are a lot of them available where employers can use to engage their employees, give recognition, and they like to see themselves. They like to see themselves on social media. And they like lots of recognition. And so, and the other thing with that is that their performance can be measured as well. And you can also measure how well you're doing as an employer too, so you always know where you are as an employer, and they know where they stand, because they want to know how they're doing. So so for both the employer and the employee, there's no reason why that shouldn't be measured and tracked, and everyone knows where they stand.
You bring up a really good point, right? Yeah, because, those Generation Ys, we always talk about the four focus areas for them. They're all about communication. They want to be in the loop. They're all about feedback. Tell me I'm doing a good job. You can tell me I need to step it up, but tell me when I'm doing a good job too. I know there's some of my colleagues feel that they're not as committed, because they are committed to a work and life balance. And I think that's important. I think it makes them actually a better employee. And that development and growth for them is really important. Those are things that, in the old call centers of olden days, they just didn't focus on that. But you're right. Gen Y is different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gen Y, what's interesting about Gen Y is that they are the first generation that is going to work, and they know that the employer that they're going to work for, they're not only going to work for one employer. And that's pretty interesting, because all the prior generations, their goal would be to work for one employer, to find that one employer that they're going to work for. And that was why they don't have that mindset. They want to go, they're going to work, and they're looking at work, they're looking for a family at work.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a different mindset. So they want to find that family knit at work. So that's, if you know that, then you know how to manage to it. And if you manage to it, it could be very powerful.
Yeah, definitely. Organizations need to proactively adjust their environments to the Generation Y, and they'll have a great advantage over their competitors, because these employees are really engaged. They want to work, they want to have fun, and they want to be productive, and they want to make a difference. And if you can channel that, that'll certainly help, don't you think?
I think so, yes.
You know, you've also
I've seen cases where they have channeled that, and that the teams have become very productive.
Mm-hmm. For sure. You know, you've also said that it's really about how you say something rather than what you say that makes a positive impression. And I really couldn't agree more. What does translate to finding the right people to hire at a contact center? And can a company use how applicants say something as a screening process?
Sure. Yes, they should. They should listen for what they say and how they say it, and their tones. That's very important, and especially in a contact center. I think for most people, a question that I always ask is, "Tell me about a time that you had a difficult customer." And play it back to me, just as if it were a movie. And you want to listen when they explain that. You listen for their tones. And a lot of times I will close my eyes because you want to listen to how their voice sounds. And mm-hmm. What's important is to always listen to them on the phone, number one, but listen to how the tone and what they're saying, because that's going to come across eventually when they're on the phone. But, you know, they always, one of the things that I tell my employees is speak the truth in love, and you'll get the solution. Because that's, it's just, you know, it doesn't matter what as much what you're saying is how you're saying it. And one of the questions that we ask is, you know, tell me about the words that you used.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that, but like what you said is the tone that you use and how you say it, or how you sound when you're saying it, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
You know, I'm always surprised at how many recruitment processes do not include a phone screening that's really listening for articulation and voice. You know, the fact is, I don't think there's any right or wrong answers to ask the applicant during that process. But if they use inappropriate language, if they're using slangs, if they're challenged to articulate their thoughts, I think they're going to be pretty much the same way on the phone, you know, with our customers. Have you seen that as well?
Yeah. I have. And today there's a lot of screening going to just internet screening, which is really surprising. We do 3 interviews before we send someone out that are, and one of those interviews does not include a phone screen. And mm-hmm. you would be surprised in the difference in that third interview, how different it is from the very first interview. Because
what do you think
it does take, and I would, mm-hmm. Because by the third interview, they've become more comfortable, and they feel like by that third interview that they have a job. In the third interview, we feel comfortable enough with them to put them in a stressful situation. And that makes the difference, all the difference in the world. And that is one of the things I would recommend. If you have someone working in a call center, and we all know that call centers are very stressful, is before you hire someone, you want to kind of drive them into a stressful situation to see how they're going to respond to that.
You know, we also, we agree with you. I think what we've been able to do is incorporate, using internet tools, a pre-screening tool that allows the agent, this applicant, to hear 4 different scenarios. And they're like phone calls, so they have to be able to enter data, navigate screens, and then, you know, at some point, there's a customer service issue in which they need to respond. And, you know, we look at the outcomes of those pre-screening tools, and we look to see did we give the applicant a good trial run of what they could expect of working in the call center? Because I think it is important for them to figure out, is this a job I really want and do I belong here, as it is for us to determine their likelihood to succeed as they go through the interview process.
Fran, that's a very good point you brought up, because that is something in the retention as well. I think the candidate needs to know as much about the company as you do, as you want to know about them, in order to get them to stay.
Yeah,
I don't know
agree.
If I mentioned that earlier, but that's something they should know, everything about the company. Just like your screening, you should give them all the information as well. Because if you want it to be long term.
Absolutely. I mean, the worst thing that can ever happen is if you're the hiring manager and, you know, 30 days after their start, they look and go, this was nothing like I imagined. You didn't share, you know, these elements of the, you know, the job with me, and now I don't think I'm a good fit. That's just, you know, detrimental.
Yeah, we'd be surprised how many. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. How many what?
Customers that we've met that have higher employees and have high turnover, and we go in and meet the managers, and the managers never met the employees before they started working.
Hmm. Yeah, again, that disconnect during the recruitment process, especially in organizations where recruiting and HR are all separate. And so there isn't that partnership between the hiring manager and the recruitment process that really creates that void and that missed connection, don't you think?
I think so, yeah.
You know, you must have seen many situations where companies are just in dire straits with regard to their turnover, but somehow they've managed to turn it around. Is there a success story here that you can share with us, or tell us some tips on what we might address?
Sure. I have a customer that had very high turnover, and we went in, it was an insurance company, we went in and took a look at why their turnover was so high, and there was a couple of reasons. One of it was training. But the biggest reason was that they were not hiring for the right skills.
Mm-hmm.
It had been a while since they took a look at what their customers' needs were. The needs had changed in the past 5 years, so we sat down and looked in. Went over, rewrote their skill set, and changed their skills, and so that was one big point. And then we also changed the expectations and the job description some, and also changed the incentive bonus. That was another thing. It's very important to have the employees be able to have an incentive that is measurable and attainable, and so that made a difference, and that they could the employees who were hiring something that they were able to meet their that related to the actual position. I think that. They were trying to hire a skill set that didn't work for the position that they were trying to hire for, and so we needed to raise that skill set up, and so that helped quite a bit. And then the also helping with the incentives, you know, that made a big difference too.
You know, I agree with both of those. I think the incentives are really important, because it's the performance that you're incenting, it's that right behavior. And, you know, all of those mm-hmm. expectations usually get set during onboarding. And I know we talked briefly about it, But I think the importance of onboarding, both from what's expected of you and getting started before day one, reaching out as soon as possible when they say yes. Let's reach out and, you know, engage them from that moment so that they understand the role that they play and how impactful it is that they're going to join this organization. Have you seen the same thing?
Yes, Fran, and you're so right. But especially with Gen Y, it's extremely important. They want to be part of something great. They want to be part of something bigger. So that's extremely important to them. Like I said, they want to be a part of a family. And if you channel that, they will, especially a team, and this is where really as call centers, it can be very effective because they like working in teams. And so day one, and they're very critical too. That's something as well. They're very critical. So when you walk in, they expect you to know their name. And so it's important that you have their name spelled correctly, that you have a name badge for them, you have their time card ready to go. It's already entered in the system. And so all the onboarding things that, you know, I've had people not take jobs because their drug testing wasn't ready for them to go. You know, that if you have a really good candidate, they expect those things. And you expect that out of them as an employer. So they're going to, those things, because that makes their first impression. That first 2 weeks is really a working interview. Because they're deciding, is this a long-term company? Is this a place I want to be? You know, are they organized? Do they have it together? Are they going to have a future? So having, you know, the onboarding is extremely important.
Yeah, I think it is too. That onboarding, the training, making them feel welcome from the moment they say yes, I think it's important. It's interesting because I think we focus a lot on questions about the environment. You know, do we ask ourselves, you know, how do we brighten up the place, or how do we make agents feel better about their stressful jobs? But I think we should also be asking ourselves, how do we make the job easier for the agents and less repetitive so that they can really feel like they're contributing and implementing those changes as fast as we can? You know,
right,
we're
exactly
approaching the end of our time today, believe it or not. We've got a couple of more minutes left, and I'd love some final thoughts for our audience around, you know, certainly around the best ways to recruit and things that you've seen. Anything you can wrap it up for our audience would be helpful.
Okay. What I would say is there's recruiting is very important to have momentum. And there's not one source. I know a lot of people, social media is a big way, and everyone's using social media, but it's multiple channels to recruit. And what I tell all of my clients is it's very important to never let that wheel stop. So it's something that should continuously, like you said, keep your bench full. Should always keep your bench full. So never stop that. And if you want to be the employer of choice, then you want to have a waiting list to get in your door. So that's the goal, and that's what I tell my clients. You want a waiting list to get in your door, a waiting list to get a job there is the goal.
Well,
so
I thank you so much, Dina. It was a pleasure having you today. You know, I think what we've said, and hopefully we shared with the audience, is the aim of any recruitment strategy is really just to find the right person for the job. And it's essential to the overall success of any contact center. So being able to develop a recruitment strategy that focuses on identifying and hiring high performers, you know, that greatness in someone who have the skills and ability to carry out the work, it's, you know, really the true objective of any good recruitment strategy. But it's also important to remember that recruiting is an ongoing process. It's not a phase. It's not something you do only, you know, when you need to hire. It is always be hiring, because it requires a good understanding of how effective different recruitment strategies are in terms of producing a high quality, diverse applicant pool. And that's going to do it for us today. We will conclude our show, and remember to check our website at singolaconsulting.com for future episodes. And thank you again for joining us. We so appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us today, and please visit us at SingolaConsulting.com to learn more about how we can help your organization realize their investments. Remember to always put the patient at the center of every decision you make.